Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just glad for each person being here, and we just pray for their protection, and we do pray for those who have just been ill, and Lord, just to be healing over them and protect them and give them strength that comes from you. And so, Lord, we do thank you for this Christmas season, is that we do refocus on you in so many ways and give you honor and glory. And so our eyes are set upon you and what you're going to do, not the fear and the concerns around us, but the focus on you and that you're telling us of the mighty things that you're working. And so we give thanks to you for that. So I pray you just open up each heart this morning to receive from you. And God, I just pray you'd anoint me with the Spirit to speak words of the Spirit that would touch people's hearts. They could see through your word, your truth, and the power of what you're doing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to look at, excuse me, I may have to have a little lozenge here, but what we're going to look at this morning is Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. Colossians 3 verse 2 says this: set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Now, it's interesting, is you know that the different books of the Bible and stuff, they have a theme. You know when they, for each of those books, there's a general overriding theme that they focus on. And the one for Colossians, people will typically say the theme of Colossians is the deity of Christ. So it's really, you know, ratcheting up, and so you're explaining, and that we see the deity of Christ. Now, I say that because it's really fits in to what this verse says. If we see Christ, the deity of Christ, that he is God, then you can see this statement, how important it is. Set your minds on things that are above Christ, the deity of Christ, not on things on the earth. So the whole point, you can see how important this is. Now, it's important standalone, but that just puts a little more power to it. So we're going to look at that about, you know, setting our minds on the things of God. And you know, in general, say, okay, that makes sense, and we do well to do that. But sometimes it's a little hard to do that. But this is what the Lord says. This is what we need to do. And so we want to look at that, this section, and see how we can implement that more and how it can impact our lives as we go through. And like Christmas, you say, remember, you know. And what you're doing, but you're setting your minds on the things of the Lord. So one of the things, we're going to start off, the verses right before this in chapter 3. And it's quite long, and I'm just going to read a portion of it. But one of the things to keep our minds on things above and not on things of earth is don't get wrapped up in religion. Don't get wrapped up in religion. It's interesting that that's how the Lord says, okay, we really want to grow in the Lord, and we want to do things. Okay, don't get wrapped up in religion. Because as soon as you do that, you're going to have issues. It's not going to be helpful for you in the long run. And it's going to, in fact, work against you. So just listen to these verses again. We opened up with, set your mind on things that above, not things on the earth. So this is one of the things don't set your mind on. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 21 through 23, it says this: do not, making a statement, do not handle, do not touch, do not taste. This is referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. So he's telling you, don't touch this, don't touch this, don't taste this, don't handle to this. And he said, these are things that perish, and it's been set up by human precepts and teachings. And he says this. Now, this is in context with just religion in general, rules. He says, these have indeed an appearance of wisdom. Now, that's important. People tell you something, and you listen to it, and there's an appearance of wisdom. But it says it's human teaching. So these indeed have an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion, asceticism, and severity to the body. Now just think about how much religious, and I mean worldwide religion, certain sects of Christianity, that you have this appearance of wisdom from a self-made religion that is nothing but just severity to your body, and you're calling it holy. You know, don't eat that, don't drink that, don't do this, you know. I'm giving this up for that, and all, you know, all sorts of things like that. And, you know, and especially on this certain period of time, we're giving up all of this, you know. Well, that's what it's talking about. Well, it has a sense of wisdom, like, why aren't they dedicated? You know, something like that. So you can, again, your mind can just go crazy with all of it. But what the Lord here is putting it all in the one bucket. He said, no, that's not what this is. This has an appearance of wisdom, but it's not from the Lord. It's human. And this severity to your body is not helping anyone. And it's not helping you. You know, it's just an appearance. So then that way you have people, you know, making a comment on these certain self-sacrificing things, you know, and it's like, well, they're really devoted. And the Bible says, no, they're not. They're misled. They're totally misled. That's not what I want you to do. Now, here's the last part of this. The first part of the section, you'd read it too, because, I mean, it just, it's unmerciful about the rules. Right? I mean, it's just, so I just picked this out. But here's how it ends, okay? Now, this is fascinating. And I want you to track with me here, is that, okay, we have a certain religious view with certain asceticism, severity to the body, you know, whatever that may be, however you want to do it, you know. I don't know, you could just go on and on. And so you have these things. These are the things you need to do. And you do these things for the certain religious reasons. And again, all religions have this. I could just name a few, and you go, well, yeah, that's what they do. Well, it's the same thing. Has an appearance of wisdom, of conviction. God says, no, they're just misled. So here you have all this self-sacrifice stuff, has an appearance of wisdom, and basically you've just made it up and convinced people, and everybody's doing this certain thing, all right? So you're misled. Look at the last statement in this section. This is really, all of us should look at this and say, well, this is a bunch of nonsense. You know, give up this for this. You know, I'll have this number of weeks to give up this for this. I'll pick up, you know, and so whatever it is, they go on going. Look at the last statement. And the severity to the body. Then it puts but. Huge word. But. It's in the original language. It means contrast. Okay? But. Instead of doing all this nonsense. But. See? But. All this stuff you are doing, they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. They are so passionate, self-sacrificing and carrying out this. They're so committed. God's going, they're misled. And it's not helping them one bit to overcome the things they need to overcome. It's not helping them at all. It's of no value. It didn't even say it's a little value. It's of no value. It's a waste of time. I mean, if you're doing something you're going to be miserable for it, you'd think, oh, maybe it's worth something. But he's, no, it's a waste of time. It's a total waste of time. Now, I think that's important in the Christmas season because there was a, you know, there's certain things that, you know, I think Christians do. And if it makes you like communion and say, I want you to do this so you remember, you know, just spur you to me. I mean, that's good. But if you're doing this something like you're going to earn a, you know, something in heaven or something, it's not happening. And, you know, I think So I don't want to, you know, blow up anyone's Christmas traditions or anything like that. I want you to have lots of fun. But it's the point of it is, it does nothing in restraining our sinful indulgence. It doesn't. It's no good. And that's what he's saying here. It's no value whatsoever. No value whatsoever. So basically, what's saying here, all such human attempts at religion are worthless. They lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Very insightful to other religions and all their rules and regulations. They do not empower people. Oh, they're committed. Okay. It doesn't empower them. It doesn't help them. And it shouldn't be any lure to us whatsoever. Because why? I don't want to do something that's going to help me and not going to empower me. But so that really ties it up right here. Now, why did I mention that the book of Colossians, the theme is deity of Christ? It's the deity of Christ and worship. This other stuff doesn't help you anywhere to get there, all right? And so he's telling them up front, that other stuff that you have is junk you need to get rid of so that you can focus on Christ and receive all he has for you, because the other stuff is a hindrance. What you can understand is he's carrying the gospel and the early days of Christianity and Judaism. I mean, Judaism was cram-packed with rules and regulations. And Jesus just wiped them off. One swoop. And so this is how it goes about to explaining it. So, if you want to do it, that's fine. You know, we took communion, and that's great. But I'm going to just tell you something. Communion, taking communion, didn't do one thing to restrain your sensual indulgences. Now, he said, do it to remember. It didn't give you any power. That's important. I talk to people, Christians, I take communion because I just receive power from Christ when I receive communion. All right. I don't see that anywhere in the scriptures. Nowhere do I see that. None. He says you do it to remember. You do it to remember. So, okay, so here we're, there's an old preacher. His name's McLaren. And he said this with a lot of force. He says, there's only one thing that will put the collar on the neck of the animal within us, and that power is indwelling Christ. You know, I don't sacrifice all you want to, don't eat this, follow these rules. It will not put the neck on that, you know, animal within us. Receiving the indwelling Christ does. And so that's the whole point here. Now, so this is good for us to look at when we, and we're going back to this verse again. It says, well, where did we start with? Set your minds on things that are above, not things that are here on earth. See, up above, what God is doing and what God wants you to do. Our vision is totally different, totally different. Now, as believers, so we know this, as believers, we receive the person of Christ. Amen? So it's fundamental, basic. And then Christ indwells us through the Holy Spirit. Amen? There we go. See, only when we walk by the Spirit can we avoid carrying out the desires of the lower nature. It's the Christ in us. It's the Holy Spirit within us. It's not sacrificing 10 things before Christmas. I mean, if you want to do it, that's fine. You know, that can be kind of fun around the house, you know. But it doesn't help give you any strength or any power. Any strength. Now, what the Bible does say about power within, we believe on Christ, and I'll just quote this from Galatians 5:16. And it says, but I say this, walk, and I put in parentheses up here, be occupied, because that's actually what that word means. It's a unique word. But I say walk or be occupied by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful flesh. What is he saying do? Set your mind on things above, not on things earth. I mean, that's what he's saying. This is what you do. We make a choice, but in making that choice, we engage the Holy Spirit who gives us power. Amen? So we look at this and say, thus we do away with earthly things by setting our minds on the things of God. What are we focused on? Now, that's one thing. It's helpful, like in Christmas and even with communion and stuff like that. It says, remember, because then you stir and you refocus. You know, and God tells us to do that all through the Scripture. He goes, refocus, you know, stir. Think upon me. What have I done for you? But that's just bringing things to remembrance. The decision is with us, but the power is from God through the Holy Spirit. And this, by the way, is the Christian walk. This is it, right here, you know. And it's like, oh, it's Christmas, and get ready for Christmas, and I'm just picking on Christmas because it's Christmas. And, well, I'm going to sacrifice these five things and, you know, and just show my dedication to Christ. And it's like, you missed the whole point. You're not going to get anything. If you want to do it, that's fine. You know, if that's just something tradition, you know, makes your grandmother happy, whatever. Let's go ahead and do it. But you're not going to get anything from it. That's what he's telling us right here. He says it's really a waste of time. It's a waste of time. So we have this statement. Now let's just go on to the next statement in Colossians, which is fascinating. And when, of course, he is saying, it's just reminded to set our minds on things above, not things on the earth. Colossians 3:5. Put to death whatever is earthly in you. Now, I left out, it has a whole list of sins we could all say amen to. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, which is idolatry. Now, the reason I didn't include the sins there, because all of you go, yep, that's one. I mean, so I didn't include them, because it just said all these sins, and it goes this one, which is idolatry. I mean, yeah. But the point I wanted to make is not the specific sins. The point I wanted to make is what those sins were. Oh, you do those sins, and you're bad. Okay. I have to ask for forgiveness for that one. Okay. Oh, my gosh. You know, just, okay, and all that's true. But that's not the point he makes here, which is fascinating. It says it's idolatry. No, if you do that, see, I'm not saying he's not saying it's good. But the point of it, he's not saying it's bad. He's at the point I'm saying this is idolatry. Well, I think we need to look at the thing of idolatry and say, well, that word really explains the impact of sin on our lives when we commit it. We have an understanding of the depth of what sin is, and we have a better understanding of how God actually looks at sin. Okay? So Christ died for our sin. Boom. Taken care of. You know, no matter what's said, we know that. But he says here, but I don't want you to do this because those sins are idolatry. Well, wait a minute. What does that mean? They're idolatry. So here's the deeper meaning, and I want us to think about this because it really gives us insight in our Christian walk and setting our minds on the things of the Lord. When we see sin as idolatry, we have a deeper insight of why it's so damaging. An idol is something people give their devotion, treasure, and time to. That's what an idol is. Now, what is an idol? You know, some of the pagan religions, you have one in your living room, you know, and they put gifts there, you know, they put food there, and, you know, whatever, they're devout, they come in, before they go in the house, you know, they kneel and, you know, do whatever, or, you know, they pray to it in the morning or something. So it can, what it does, it takes a part of devotion from them when they have an idol, or you wouldn't have it. It demands, an idol demands devotion. An idol demands certain things that you give to it. And so that's why certain religions really push the things of idols. And then they'll even say that the particular idol is in itself something holy. You know, and that's the reason the Bible says, these things have eyes and they can't see. You know, it's like the obvious. I guess the Lord just had to state the obvious. He said, they have eyes, they can't see. You know, they went. But this is what idols do. Now, so you have, idol is something that you give your devotion, treasure, and time to. Bottom line, an idol is something we put before God. Now, put that one in your mind. An idol is something we put before. I worship God with all my heart, mind, and soul. But every Wednesday, I got to give this idol a cupcake. What I've done, well, God is not, you know, my whole desire in worship. He has to share time on Wednesday morning when I give this cupcake, okay? It comes in between me and God. See, that's what an idol does. An idol comes in between us and God so that our devotion to God is not pure because we have something in our heart. Now, we could get a little bit more serious about this. Materialism can be an idol. That's what you worship. Well, then that comes between you and God, and you never can have the full devotion to God, you know? Or you can just pick your sin. Whatever it is, it becomes between you and God, and therefore it takes some part of your devotion. Therefore, you don't have a pure devotion to God. And so, therefore, it becomes a hindrance in our hearts to our total devotion to God. Amen? Now, let's just go back. Colossians said what? He listed all these sins. He said, oh, yeah, these are all bad. I've read that before. He goes, they're idolatry. They're idolatry. They just came between you and God. That's the issue with those sins. Because you worship those sins more than you worship me. Those things, your heart is set on those things, and they're so set on your sin, those things, that you can't give your heart to me. They're idols. See the difference? I mean, it's a powerful difference here. Now, we have the same thing that's stated in Ezekiel. Really clarifies it in Ezekiel, and where there really was just a super problem with the Jews worshiping idols at that time. And so God was always dealing with the people for dealing with idols. And in Ezekiel 14, verse 3, it says this, Ezekiel 14, 3. So God's talking to Ezekiel. He's like, you know, son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts. They've got all these people. They're coming to get a word from the Lord, to the prophet. And he goes, son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts. And they're coming to me. Then he says this, should I be consulted by them at all? You know what God just said? Pick one. He just said, pick one. Don't go. You're going to worship the idol. Have at it. Don't come to me. And if you come to me, don't go to the idol. Pick one. These men have set up idols in their heart. Should I be consulted by them at all? Why would I not listen to you? You have an idol in your heart. Your focus is someplace else. Don't come to me and expect me to answer you. I'm not doing it. Why? Because he didn't love them, he didn't care. No, because they have idols in their hearts. See? Now, does this put a little different view on, say, sin? Okay, sin. All right, sin, they're bad. Well, no, they have an idol in their heart. And God says he's not going to listen. He's not going to listen to them anymore because they've chosen to worship something else. And he goes, okay, Pick one. Pick one. You see? So it's releasing us to releasing us to our own idol. We can say, releasing us to our sin. That's a lot of judgment. No, he's releasing to us our own heart's desire. I'll give it. I'll release you to that. Release you to that. So you have the fascinating thing. God says, why are you coming to me? Your hearts are full of idols that you depend on. Therefore, to hear me, put to death what is earthly in you, which is idolatry. It's like, I'll never do that again. And we don't. Yeah, we know that doesn't work. But it's like, man, this is something. This is something that really is hanging on with me. This is dominating my time, my focus. Lord, I give this idol to you. I want nothing to do with you. I want to set my eyes on the things of you, not on the things of this world. See? That's a different approach in doing that. I came to mind, I hadn't thought of this in years. Early on in my Christian life, in struggling with all sorts of things and making some progress on some of them, but being really upset about something, and I couldn't release myself from it. Couldn't just release myself from it. And what I would do is that I would picture it in my hands like it was, like you could see it. Okay, here's it. I said, okay, God, this is it. I don't want this anymore. I don't want it. Here, you take it. Now, for me, I found that worked. And I think what I was doing as I was engaging in the Lord, and I didn't know how to engage in the Lord, but I knew how to do that. And so, in fact, I was engaging with the Lord, you know, and he honored those prayers as I look back on that. But this makes sense to right here. You said, no, it's an idol in my heart. I was recognizing the hold the thing had on me, and by doing that, I would give it over to the Lord. Now, so y'all with me with this, all right? It's like, okay, so the message is, set your things on things above, not on the earth. Now, that tells you something right now, that everything kind of on this earth, like here, it's just going to burn up, okay? I mean, it just kind of, but the things in heaven are not, and so that becomes priority. That becomes priority. In fact, the only thing the Bible tells us are eternal is God's word, is God's word and people. So we're going to say, my priorities are going to be things that are above, which God is leading and what he's teaching. And so to do that, God will point out idols in our heart that are getting in the way of our worship. Do you see that? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Listen, you shouldn't sin because this is bad and you're bad for doing it. Oh, gosh. All right. You're right. You know. But then there's an element like, you know, this is bad, and you're doing this, and this is getting in the way of you hearing everything I want to tell you. It's like, oh, my God, I don't know, but I'm just more motivated there. I'm more, oh, my God, God, I don't want to do something that putting in between you and me and you that I can't hear you or understand what you're doing. I'm more motivated than just telling, that's bad, you sin, you need to repent, you know. And if you don't, I'm going to tell Linda. Now, that's a lot of motivation. Okay. But anyway, but I'm still more motivated with the other. Now, here we go. So here's the picture. Set your minds on things above. Now, and so we talked about the heart. That's the point of the heart, because that's an idol within our heart. So this is what the Lord is dealing with. He's walking with us. Now, so I just want to take all that, we will put all this around, and now we'll make a point. Put all this in one basket and make a point of how important it is to have our heart pure before God. Okay? Not me, not your spouse, pure before God. Why this is important. And it is in context here. I mean, there's a flow here. And so we know that we all grow in our walk with Jesus. He continues to teach us. We grow in faith, grace, and love. We continue to dispose of those idols in our heart. that stand between us and our pure devotion to Christ, then having our hearts focused on Christ, doing away with the idols, then we can have peace with God. Amen? Now, this goes peace with God. Okay, I'm growing, I'm not there, but so there's a general peace with God. Now, what does that mean, I have peace with God? It's that Him and I are thinking the same things, and we're on the same page. It's peace, right? It's kind of like your spouse, you know? You're going together, you're on the same page, everything. You just have peace. Then one of the spouse does something just that really irritates you, you know? And there's no peace. No peace at all, you know? Right? And you know it's his idol. Anyway, but you see what I'm saying? But peace, you mean you're kind of walking together, you're on the same page, you know, so you understand. So you have peace with Christ. We're walking together, we're on the same page. Now, we grow in this. We're not perfect, okay? So we're constant growing. But one of the things that would hinder this is to have idols in our hearts. Because we couldn't be at peace. We never could be at peace because our devotion is to these idols or different things there. So we have dealt with these idols so that we will have a peace of God in our hearts. That good? All right, peace. Look at Colossians 3:15. I'm only read half the verse. Colossians 3:15. This is a good one to circle, underline, and everything. And it says this, and let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Yeah. Let the peace. Me and Jesus walking along. We're doing good. Let it just rule, you know? Okay, Jesus, me and you, we just rule in your heart. In your heart. Now, this, in a practical sense, this is not having any idols in our heart. And this helps us living a life and making decisions in our life. You know, with me, living life and making decisions. Now, here's the word. The word rule here, R-U-L-E, the word rule here, is an expressive term used only here in the New Testament. Okay, so you know, you hear words and you read, okay, this, you know, they mean this here, mean that. This is the only time this word's used. Only time this word, it's rule. I mean, I thought at least it'd be a big long word or something, you know, I mean, it's no, this is the only time it's used in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. And so, the word rule, I think it's important to know, what does it really mean? It's only used once, you know. And it said here, let the peace of God rule. It's a big deal in our hearts. Well, what it literally means is this. To act as an umpire. To arbitrate. To decide. So they didn't have a good word to put all that together. So it's rule. Okay, and so what he's saying here is that let the peace of God serve as an umpire. I mean, Adam, he's a baseball guy. I mean, he's an umpire. Yeah, he's been behind plate, you know. And so the umpire, what does an umpire do? He umpires. He calls balls and strikes. He calls balls and strikes. Let the peace of God call balls and strikes. Yeah? Or arbitrate. Well, if the peace of God arbitrates, that means there's a decision. Okay? That means there's two opposing things, or there would be nothing to arbitrate. So there has to be a conflict to arbitrate. So when you have a conflict, let the peace of God arbitrate. Arbitrate. Or it just says decide. It's like, I don't know what to do. Lord, what this? This is good and this is better. And they say this is crazy and I don't know what's going on. Let the peace of God decide. Decide. I was reading. Y'all ever read Oswald Chambers? You really should read Oswald Chambers daily. And if you just want to be totally convicted daily. I mean, it's just, the guy's just amazing. But I read this in him. He goes, when you're having a terrible decision, hard decision to make, no amount of information will ever show you what you should do. I thought, what? He goes, no, you think, no, the spiritual decision is, I'm going to get all this information, and you never can get enough information. You can't. Why? Because it's a spiritual decision. And the only person that can tell you a spiritual decision is God, not more information. And it kind of comes down to this, let the peace of God rule. This person says, you're an idiot. This person over here says, I know you're an idiot. And this person over here says, you're a nice guy, but you got much going. But God, you're saying to do this. Well, maybe I'll spend more time with this guy, more time with this guy, more time with this guy. Maybe, you know. Now, information does. It says you have the counsel of many and you study and all that. But it comes to a point when it's spiritual where you have to say, God, what? You got to tell me. I don't know. And the peace of God will rule. But it's a spiritual thing. And you better be kind of suck it up and be ready if you make that kind of decision, you know. Because when you step out there, you're not going to have everybody running up, patting you on the back and say, way to go. It's not going to happen. So it gives you this view. What this verse is talking about is the peace of God rules. It arbitrates. Now, what about if you have some idols in your heart? See, well, you can't arbitrate. He can't arbitrate. Why? Because God has lost his wisdom with that? No. It's because you have divided affections here, and then God's telling you something here, and they can't work together. There's no peace. There's no peace because there's idols in your heart. So before you can really make those decisions, you have to get rid of those idols before your heart, where you're open as much as you can be before the Lord and say, God, you speak to me, but they can only speak to you after you get rid of the idols. Y'all with me? This is powerful. People, I want God to speak to me. He doesn't speak to me. Okay? But there's a way for God to speak to you. You know, and this is how it comes down to our very, very heart. Now, I know one of the things I remember when I first read this, and it really made sense, is like, oh, this is incredible. How many have you ever heard believers? Says, you know, so-and-so shared this with me, and I thought that was great. I just had a real peace about it. Have you ever heard people say that? I've had a real peace about it. That is totally biblical. That is totally biblical. I just had such a peace about that. You know? It's biblical. See, how many of you heard believers? It's like that. You know, they're going to do this, and that. You know, and I don't know, love these people, but I just have a check in my spirit. I just have a check. No peace. How many of you heard people say that? I just have a check. That is totally biblical. Totally biblical. You know? And you pray about it. It says, I don't know. Well, what's wrong with it? I was saying, I just have a check. Check. See? That's biblical. Why? Let the peace of God rule in your heart. There it is. And I heard people, well, you can't trust that. I said, well, you can't trust nothing else either. I mean, so they might as well take a shot with this one. Okay, so you with one, so it's fascinating when we, and the verse we opened up with, you know, it says, set your mind on things above, not things on the earth, so that the peace of God will direct in whatever you're doing. Amen? Now, see, this is, now in my mind, this is usable. This is usable in everyday life. Now, I have to add this. You will come to situations where, by the way, when God speaks, and you, the Bible is full. You always get the information, and you know, you counsel of many and stuff. But sometimes it's going to come down like, you know, I have to make this decision. That's what's going to happen. I'm making the decision. And you're going, you know, I have a piece about this, and this person, this, I have a check about it. I have a check about it. What do you do? I'm going to let you think about it. What do you do when that happens? You go before the Lord. Say, Lord, you didn't tell them. You told me. You told me. See? They may have a check. Maybe, you know, you didn't give them all the grace. You haven't told them everything you told me. And maybe they have a noddle in their heart. No, I wouldn't say that. That'd be terrible. Don't say that. That was really nasty. Even came to my mind through that. But what you do, you have to, you always, you want to be open to things of the Lord. But what you have to do is, look, what are you telling me? That's what it is. What is he telling you? And the person, and if it's a specific decision based on what you're doing, the Lord probably never gave the other person all that information that was necessary for you because they're not part of that solution. So you with, because you run into that. It's like, okay, godly people disagree. What do you do? It's just like, and so you have to defer to. You know, I've done it too. People say, what do you think about this? I said, well, this is what I think. And they said, well, I don't see it that way. Okay, that's fine. Then you do what the Lord's telling you. I don't even hesitate. You just do what the Lord says. You know, that's the way I see, but you just do what the Lord tells you. And the Lord will take care of you. He'll take care of you. So, anyway, I just think this is powerful and for us to use in our day-to-day walk with our kids, and they're always, they're all sorts of, I mean, the kids are way fun to use this too. Hey, Mom, I'm going to go with Sally, Susie, and Annie, and we're just going to get an ice cream, and we'll be back, and everything's just fine. You go, hon, I just have a check. You know, well, why? You know, don't you trust me? And by the way, I tell you something, I've never in my life trusted a 16-year-old. I'm just telling you, it's a proven fact, their brains aren't even developed until they're 18. I mean, what are you doing? I mean, anyway, it's just so, it's like, and so, you know, well, you're the most awful person to ever live. I said, I know, but this person's mother, they don't care. My God bless her, and you know, and all the rest of the kids she has in jail. I mean, that's fine. You see what I'm saying? You have to make a stand up. But you don't have any facts to prove that I shouldn't go. I just got a big check on that. You're going to have to trust me on this one. And then they'll say something sweet. You've ruined my life. It's ruined. You know. So, I mean, it's just, it's life. So God is just preparing you and them for life, okay? So this, what you have to do is to understand the full realm of the principle. And when the Lord is showing you something, and again, you have to be honest with yourself and go in before the Lord and understand the things that the Lord is telling you. And so it really talks about internal honesty that you have to have between you and the Lord and what the Lord is teaching you. So, hallelujah. So, all this ends. We end this right here. Right here. Again, I think this is very, very applicable. I tell you what's applicable to teach your kids. Now, again, their brains don't develop till they're 18. I mean, I don't care how spiritual they were. I mean, they just, their brain, you know, I just... So you, there has to be some, there has to be some capacity to receive on this. Just understand who they are. But you want to teach them to the point where they grow in that and learn to develop in that as adults where they can function in that. See? So, hallelujah. So just end with the verse we started with. Set your minds on things above, not things on the earth. Their whole vision changes. Whole vision changes. Okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. And Lord, we look at verses like this and we see them put there. And Lord, you truly do give us insight on how you speak to us. You truly do give us understanding of how we have to call about a call to you. But you truly also tell us that, you know, we need to put you first. You know, if we've got a bunch of idols in our heart and we're thinking on that, we'll never get a clear picture. And so it takes us individually to clear and purify our hearts when we go before each of these situations. But Lord, you show us how you communicate with your people. And we thank you for that. And the whole idea that you love us and you communicate with us is overwhelming. So God, we just thank you for our forgiveness. We give all thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.